Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
You know, this intro music is pretty happy, and typically, these Friday podcasts are pretty happy. At least they have been this year. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all season long and all postseason long, and now post-postseason long, by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Now, through the Bucks Draft Party, the JoeBucksFan.com Draft Party, you can buy or lease a new or pre-owned vehicle from Bill Curry Ford and receive a pair of season tickets to the Bucks for the 2019 football season. All right. All you got to do is call 813-872-5555 for more information. Head to BillCurryFord.com to check out their awesome selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford. I commend Bill Curry Ford because they sponsored this program. They continue to the bitter end. And what a bitter end it was. I know we talked last week, but 12 periods in this series were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Four games, no overtimes. We won the first one, and we got our butts handed to us for the next 11. And so the season, the 62-win season, ties the most of any team in the history of the sport. Well, that's all 2018-2019 will be remembered for, is a great regular season. And one giant, yeah, but, right after it. Even when they should put it in the rafters next to or at the bottom of the President's Trophy banner that we're going to hang next year. And doesn't that ceremony seem hollow right now? It'll be easier in October, but right now that's a hollow banner hanging ceremony. President's Trophy. Congrats. It should just say 2018-2019 NHL President's Trophy Champions. Yeah, but right under the Tampa Bay Lightning logo. Because I don't know if we could have undone the goodwill of 62 regular season wins in any other way but by being swept in the first round of the playoffs. And to look so bad doing it. And that's where we are. All of that goodwill, all the records that fall, everything about this year that we felt proud of is at least in the short term undone. And honestly, I think the only thing that can bring it back, that can allow for us to appreciate this season, well, it's probably one of two things. It would be falling into the hole, the cellar of the division for 3 or 4 years and longing for a better day. I'll take 62 wins and a President's Trophy. We can't win 30 games. Or finishing the job in the next season or two and winning the cup. You can appreciate past failures a little bit better when you actually hoist the trophy. But alas, we'll be watching the Stanley Cup playoffs for another 5-6 weeks. Not part of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we have to wait 12 and a half months, 13 months. Before we can feel that excitement again. The damning thing about winning 62 games and being bounced in the first round of the playoffs, being swept out of the first round of the playoffs by an 8 seed, is a regular season means nothing henceforth. This fan base can enjoy a random Tuesday night at Amalie Arena, a Saturday date with Montreal or Pittsburgh, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Washington Capitals. And it'll be fun. Kick back, enjoy some hockey. What an incredible live sport it is. But it will mean precisely bupkis when it comes to predicting, projecting, and ingraining confidence relating to the postseason. There's nothing. There is nothing we can do. We could win 70 games next season and it wouldn't matter. The only thing that matters for this fan base at this time is playoff success. A lot of the guys, front office, coaching staff, team, analysts point to a situation in Washington, D.C., where the Capitals went through the same thing, only to break our hearts last year and finish the job. So now you look at this run with Ovechkin and a lot of the pieces, Holtby, Kuznetsov, others, Brooks Orpik, and you look at that run favorably. But it wasn't until they hoisted the cup that opinions changed. We are now in that exact same situation that the Capitals were. We're paper tigers. Anytime we do anything in the regular season, it'll be, yeah, but. And we've earned it. So I don't know, as the host of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, how to approach next year if we're renewed, if we're picked up on joebucksfan.com and we go through an 82-game run. It's going to be its own separate entity, man. I mean, I'm going to cover it on an island because once we get to the end of the 82, and if we make the playoffs next year, which we should, none of it means jack because show and prove time is next April, and there's nothing we can do in October through March to change our minds there. That's where we are, and it sucks. It really does. And I think I'd change more things than the organization is going to change. I know there's breaking news today, expected news. I mean, it's long been, a not well-kept secret that Steve Yzerman wanted to return home to Detroit, and I'll get to that after the break, and we'll talk about the fallout of what our front office is going to look like and what it potentially could look like, at least, in the wake of Steve Yzerman taking the job in Detroit as its new general manager. But first, let's get the head coach's thoughts on the dais just minutes after we got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Go ahead, Coop.
When you have the amount of points we had, it's a blessing and a curse in a way because you don't play really any meaningful hockey for a long time. And then all of a sudden you got to amp it up and it's not an excuse, it's a reality.
John Cooper said a lot of things in this press conference, some right, some wrong, but it's this sentiment that sticks with me, and I want you to hear it and listen to it deeply one more time, please. It's just 15 seconds.
When you have the amount of points we had, it's a blessing and a curse in a way because you don't play really any meaningful hockey for a long time, and then all of a sudden you got to amp it up, and it's not an excuse, it's a reality.
Okay, so let's unpack that for a minute. Even if there's veracity to it, and I do believe there is veracity to it, the idea that if you're really not playing desperate hockey for a long time, it's tough to ratchet it up. The head coach is never, ever, ever allowed to say that the night that we get beat in four games by a team that we should skate circles around. You're just not allowed to say that. That's not your place. If it's a writer, if it's the general manager a week later, okay. But in the moments after a loss, it sounds like this excuse was already prepared and ready to go in his mind before game four took place. I mean, listen to this one more time, please.
When you have the amount of points we had, it's a blessing and a curse. In a way, because you don't play really any meaningful hockey for a long time. And then all of a sudden you got to amp it up. And it's not an excuse, it's a reality.
It is an excuse because your job as the head coach is to handle personalities and motivation. That is your job. You don't have any other job. You're not worried about signing players, extending players. You're worried about two things, X's and O's and motivation. And guess what, coach? Guess what? The playoffs is not a one-off format like the NFL. It's a best of seven. So if you're not up to the challenge in game one, hey, you get minimum three more chances, up to six more chances to get it right. So forgive me for listening to that crap and sounding like this. Because I cannot tolerate or abide by a mindset that says we were just so successful. We were too successful for our own good. We just won way too many hockey games. You know what? Because Columbus, they had to play desperate hockey for the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season. We just weren't ready for it. Maybe we should have done a little less winning because we would have had to play desperate playoff hockey when the time came. You have up to 7 games to get it right. You play the minimum. After the first period, 3-0 lead you built was gone in game one, we never led in the series again. And I don't give a damn if Victor Hedman is not available. We are too good to not at least hold a lead for 10 bleeping seconds in games 2 through 4. We are too damn good to get swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. We are too damn good to look like we get outwilled. Outwilled. That's about effort. And who is in charge of effort? The coach. I don't know what to say other than this guy's got to go. And they won't do it because they extended him just before the playoffs. And he and our general manager have a history together. And I can also understand where a general manager might listen to that tirade and say, well, you're too emotional in the moment. You've got to remove yourself and realize this is only one of two coaches in NHL history who's won 62 games in a regular season. The other one's Scotty Bowman. Okay, that's a fair point. Scotty Bowman's finished the job, though, a lot more. I mean, he's got one for the thumb on a third hand if he had one. So, forgive me if a regular season accomplishment that Scotty Bowman and John Cooper share is not enough for me to believe that this is a guy in the postseason whose message is sinking into our players. Oh, and I've got examples. You can look back in this person's tenure, this coach's tenure, and see instances against Detroit in the first round where we get skated circles around and I think talent bails us out. You can look at chances where we've had point-blank opportunities to close out series. The East Finals against New York Rangers got a chance to close out Game 6 at home. What happens? We get blown out. Game 6 against the Penguins, playing a Game 6 at home after winning Game 5, taking command of the series, a chance to close it out, go to the Cup Finals. What happens? We get blown out. Got a chance to beat the Washington Capitals on the road. Game 6, close out the series, get blown out. Game 7 against the Capitals, back home. Who looks looser? Who has the will? The Capitals. We lose. What happens? We fire a coach who's in charge of the penalty kill because it's the penalty kill that's the issue. What happens this round? Outwilled, outcoached, out-schemed. Does some of this fall on the players? Absolutely. But guess what? Stamkos, Kucherov, Hedman, Point, hopefully. Get to that next week. Are all signed up long-term with this organization. So what are you going to do? Blow it up, trade all those guys, and keep Cooper? Keep Cooper, who's been outcoached by Mike Babcock, who's been outcoached by Mike Sullivan, by Barry Trotz, by John Tortorella when it counts most. If you want 50 wins, go ahead, keep them. But if you want a chance to finish the job, you have to bring a new voice into the room. And we're not going to. That type of excuse making is not appropriate on the dais from the head coach in that moment. Even if it has veracity to it, your job is to motivate players, and you failed. You have failed your players. You're not the only change I'd make, but you're the first change I'd make. On the Tampa Bay Lightning front office, right after this on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Let that play a little bit longer as we mourn the departure of our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. Is that a little over top, the last segment? A little over the top? I don't know. I don't think so. We've had a lot of cracks at this thing to lift the cup, and I know this was just the first round, but we failed at every turn. I mean, you could even go back to the way we played, and this is an unforgivable loss to me. I was in the building for Game 1 of the Cup Finals, and we were playing the Blackhawks, and we're up 1-0, and in the third period, we sit back and think 1-0 is going to do, and what happens? team that's won multiple championships wears us down and ends up beating us in regulation that night. And we really would have liked to have had that game before Bishop tears his groin and you have injuries to Kucherov and Johnson in the series. So there's a lot of examples where John Cooper has been outclassed as a head coach at the NHL level. And even though I think his message was right for the time, because we had a lot of young players who he was familiar with, and you know, we had to get rid of Guy Boucher and modernize our system and become a little bit more run and gun style. I'm not saying he was never right for the organization. And I'm not saying he wouldn't be successful at his next stop. I'm just saying that his message clearly does not resonate with the team. And his devil-may-care attitude has rubbed off to where the team, I guess, believes that there are meaningless games. We can get him tomorrow. There are too many examples in his tenure where clearly our effort on the ice was about more than just what the other team did to us. Our effort on the ice said, in so many words, we'll get him tomorrow. Don't worry about today. And we need more desperation in the room. And so now it becomes a desperate time for the front office in Tampa Bay as Steve Yzerman takes the gig in Detroit. It looks like he's going to be the GM under Ken Holland. Ken Holland was his mentor. He was the person who showed Stevie Y how to run an organization. And my God, did he learn a lesson, because he's put us in position to win and win and win some more. I've got nothing but awesome feelings for Steve Yzerman. I don't feel like he's cutting loose on us and abandoning us. I think he wants to return home and reunite with his family and then also work for an organization that's meant a lot to him. I don't begrudge him a thing, and I wish him the best. And I think we all do as Tampa Bay Lightning fans. What more can you ask for? When Jeff Fittick took this franchise over, we were a joke, and he hired a model citizen of the game who had just so happened to learn the front office game as well. And Steve Yzerman helped build us up. And so now we get poached. We have been poached by the Red Wings for our former GM. And who goes with him? Well, assistant general manager or potential assistant general manager Pat Verbeek is that's the guy that everybody circles. For me, the two names to watch for the Lightning are Verbeek and director of scouting Al Murray. Both have been excellent for us. Julian Breezeball, when he took over as GM this year, did not name an assistant general manager. So you can believe it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see here that we are going to dangle the AGM job, the number two job in the front office, to one of those two people, be it Verbeek or Al Murray. For my money, I hope it's Murray, because I do think we scout well, and I think we develop well to our system. We just need a coach at the highest level who can do a better job of creating and fostering will. And don't worry, I don't leave the players blameless. It's just I'm choosing to talk about the coach today because, the buck stops with him first. And we'll talk about Steven Stamkos, among others, next week. I can promise you that. But what we need to do now as fans of the Tampa Bay Lightning, besides take a break, is keep an eye on what's going on in Detroit. Who is named to that front office? Who are they taking away from us in Tampa? It's a numb feeling for me up here in Tallahassee. I imagine it is for you as well down in Tampa. And obviously, I hope we got hit with the major front early this morning on Friday the 19th. It wasn't nearly as bad as what Alabama experienced in the Panhandle, and I fear Jacksonville is going to suffer worse than us. But I hope you guys down in Tampa Bay and across Bolts Nation are staying safe as this thing rip roars through the Southeast. And to take your minds off of it on Thursday, man. I mean, it's a special by our sponsor, from our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford. But it's true. Twofold. This offer for season tickets to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers expires on Thursday. The draft party. The Joe Bucks fan Bud Light draft party on Thursday. I believe it's at Buffalo Wild Wings down off Dale Mabry. I don't live down there. If I did, I'd go. I'd attend. I'd kick back, and I'd watch the draft if I'm a supporter of Tampa Bay sports. Or if you're a Rays fan, hey, man, bask in the glory of that, because you guys look great. The good news about hockey season is even if you get bounced early, it's back just, you know, right around the corner. Before you know it, we're in training camp in September. And so I look forward to that, because we've got to get this bitter taste out of our mouth. Even though there's nothing that we can do in the regular season to excuse away this ridiculous sweep at the hands of Columbus, just to see more hockey and watch our guys play will do us all some good. But we've got to wait for a little while. And so the plan on JoeBucksFan.com is to have a podcast for the next couple of weeks to talk fallout. Next week, I'm going to zero in on the captain and our players and exactly who did what in this ridiculous four-game series, who is blameless, who is to blame, and what we should do moving forward, given that there are cap constraints coming, like heavy cap constraints. So that'll be next week on the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network right here with the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. And the week after that, we'll see if there's some news. I'm sure there will be, maybe some progress, or at least some quotes attributed to the Braden Point contract deal and some of the shuffling I just mentioned here with the front office. But, you know, all the best to Steve Yzerman, who put us in a position to win several cups here. The window is not closed. I'll leave you with the hopeful part and the good part. This is still a really good hockey club, everybody. We're capable of winning a cup next year, the year after that. But right now, it's not the time to sit back on the fact that the window's not closed. Now's the time to be mad. It's a time to be mad as hell. I thought the Lightning did a great job on social media saying, we understand that there are no words right now that you want to hear, and we feel your pain. Right on, guys. Right on. There's a lot of pain to go around. I'm sure in some ways we can't possibly feel it the way the coaching staff and the players do. But when you're not good enough to get the job done with the as much talent as we have, then it's time to really look in the mirror and see about forging perhaps a new identity. And we'll see what we do to that end over the next few weeks. Thanks to everybody for tuning into the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast all season long. I really do appreciate it. And I really do appreciate our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. We're not done yet. Just a couple more episodes to go. But for this edition, we are done. And so are the Bulls. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. And let's go Lightning later on in the year. See ya.